Amen. All right. You know, this week I'm going to do something that I don't really do very often. In fact, I think it's most of the time it's better to not do what I'm going to do this week. But I'm going to do it anyway because I'm a rule breaker. I'm from New York. I break rules. It's what we do. I'm going to cover a large chunk of Scripture today. I normally don't, you know, most of the time, it's a better idea to take a small piece of Scripture. Sometimes it's even just a word that the teaching comes from. But today, I'm going to go over a large chunk of Scripture. I'm going to go from Deuteronomy 4:25 all the way through to 6:24, and a few more pieces of Scripture thrown in for good measure. I'm obviously not going to go word for word because that just take too long. But it's, you know, it's a large piece of Scripture. And I'm doing it because there's really a fairly narrow point that I'm going to be making in the end. And it has to do with all of Scripture, really. All of Scripture being either a memory or an instruction for us. And I'll be including prophecy as instruction because prophecy really is an instruction of how to act. And then if you act this way, something will happen, or if you don't act this way, something will happen. But it really is instruction. And I may even say some things you haven't heard before. So please keep your stones in your pocket. Don't throw them. But think about what I'm going to be saying, because I think it's true. Otherwise, I wouldn't be up here saying what I'm going to be saying. So I'll listen with an open heart. And I'm going to start with Deuteronomy 4:24, as I said. This is the time that Moses is recapping his instructions that were already given to Israel in the previous four books of Torah. Here, Moses inserts a time of prophecy about what Israel will do and what Adonai will do in response to their actions. So we're going to start with a large chunk out of Deuteronomy 4:25 through 29. When you father children and children's children and have them in the land and have been in the land for a long time, and you act corruptly and make a graven image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of Adonai your God, provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will certainly be carried off quickly from the land you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days on it, for you will certainly be destroyed. Adonai will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where Adonai will drive you. There you will serve man-made gods of wood and stone, which do not see or hear or eat or smell. But from there you will seek Adonai your God, and you will find him when you seek him. When you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Moses speaks to Israel about what's going to happen after they enter into the promised land. He says, after they enter into the promised land, they will spiritually wander. They'll spiritually wander away from him. Adonai will have them removed and scattered in nations that were not their own. But did you notice something as I was reading, or when you were reading it along with me on the screens? How often does Moses say you, the word you? At the start, when he speaks of having children, it makes perfect sense, right? He's talking to the people in front of him, and he says, you're going to have children. When you have children. And that makes sense to me. After that, he said, after you've been in the land a long time, He calls witnesses to judge you. You will be carried off. You will not prolong your days. You will be destroyed. You will be scattered. When we read the scriptures, we read you and we want to apply it to them, those who are in the land. But we should read the you as referring to you, me, personally. You and me today, and I'll support that in just a little bit. Now, there's some good news and there's some bad news in there. The good news is that Adonai says through Moses that you will seek him and turn your heart. That's the good news. We see in Scripture that they returned to Adonai by crying out to him. And Adonai did bring them back into the land multiple times. The bad news is that Moses does not say, if you turn. But he says, when you turn. It was understood by Moses that Israel will turn or would turn. It was a warning to them not to turn away. But it was also something that seems to be unstoppable. I believe that Moses knows he's speaking not just to those in front of him right then. Not just those who are in front of him right then and there. But he's also speaking to generations to come. He knows it's being written down. He knows other people are seeing it. But not only that, he knows that other generations are right there with him. It's understood by Moses that Israel would turn. I'm sorry, I lost my place. He believes, Moses believes, that he's speaking not just to those, but to the many generations that come. Or at least he's hoping that the generations to come would listen to him. Because he's giving them warnings. That's why he continues with the instructions. Going down to verse 39, it says this, Deuteronomy 4:39. So you will know today and take to heart that Adonai, he is God. In the heavens above and on the earth below, there is no other. You must keep his statutes and his mitzvot, which I am commanding you this day, so that it may go well with you and with your children after you, so that you may prolong your days in the land that Adonai your God is giving you for all time. Each time that Israel was removed physically from the land, it was because the people removed themselves spiritually first. Now, I wasn't going to tie this into the ninth of Av. But isn't that true, what happened almost every single time in the ninth of Av? Why was the first temple destroyed? They wandered. Why was the second temple destroyed? They didn't listen to instructions and wandered. It's true with us today as well. But even when Israel removed themselves, Adonai did not remove himself from them. Which I'm happy to say is also true today. He does not remove himself from our lives when we sin. There is separation, but he doesn't. He's not the one who removes himself. Each time that Israel was removed physically from the land, it was because the people removed themselves. The important part of the verse was that we're reading today is the word you, which is used over and over again. Who did Adonai make a covenant with? Well, the easy answer is he made a covenant with his people, or he made a covenant with Israel, and that's true. But either way, when people say that, they're thinking he made a covenant with them, and because of his love for them, he still loves the following generations, including us. It was his love for them, because when we read you, we think of them, not us. It's more than spoken to just them, though, back then. This is why Adonai, through Moses, continues in Deuteronomy 5 and says this. Moses called to all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes of the ordinances that I'm speaking in your hearing today. Learn them and make sure to do them. Adonai, your God, cut a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers, as Adonai cut his covenants, but with us. All of us alive here today. Adonai spoke with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire." Moses wants the people to understand something that they may not have understood before. And the truth is the truth. And that truth is still the truth today. Because truth is truth and stands forever. Moses wants them to know and understand that what Adonai says, regardless of how long ago it was said, was still true for them on that day. And we're told that his word stands forever. We see this both in the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old and the New Covenant. In the Tanakh, we can see this example of his word living forever in Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8. A voice is saying, "Cry out." So I said, "What shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all is loveliness is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, for the breath of Adonai blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Adonai said through the prophet Isaiah that his word is not like people who are like grass and flowers, but that it stands forever. Speaking of people as grass which withers and the flowers that fade means that mankind or individuals come and go. It's like people or stories that once one ends, the next story starts, but with a different cast. The story has the same theme, though. The people are different, but it's the same for each story, or what is the same in each story is Adonai is the same throughout. His words are the same throughout. His promises are the same throughout. He stands forever, and his words to mankind stand forever. This is not told to us only in the Tanakh, but also in the Brit Hadashah. For this example, we'll go to Matthew 24:35. Very simply, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away." Regardless how many generations pass, regardless of even if the heavens and the earth pass, and probably we should say when the heavens and earth pass. And it looks like all things have come to the end. The truth is, his words do not come to an end. There is no end to the truth of his words, and therefore, even if you don't see a way that they can come true, they're still true, because he knows how they'll come true and how to cause them to happen so that he'll never fail you. As we proceed with the portions of scripture, we're told that Israel were slaves in a land that was the most powerful empire up to that point. They were not just the most powerful at the time. They were the most powerful that anyone has ever seen up to that time. In history, the most powerful. No one could look at them and say, "Oh, this one was better." That's just not true for Egypt. There's no way that a slave nation under Egypt could look up and see freedom from them. But Moses wants Israel to remember that the impossible is not impossible with Adonai. Deuteronomy 5:15. You must remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Adonai your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Adonai your God commanded you to keep Yom Shabbat. And that is the memory that each of us should have within us. Not just of a story that we're told, but as an experience that each of us has inside of us. We're told we were there and were spoken to by Adonai at Mount Sinai. We were told how to hold on to the memory. We're to hold on to the memory by holding on to Shabbat and the rest that it brings our bodies, our souls, and our minds. The Shabbat is nice. You know, everyone wants to say, well, Shabbat is a great time because you just go, ah, the week is over. But it's more than that. It's a memory that each of us have about what Adonai's done for each of us. And until we take hold of that memory and honor the memory and act out the memory, we will be lost in the diaspora. This is our own personal diaspora where we're disconnected personally from Adonai, as well as the peoples as a whole. We're the nations disconnected from Adonai. And we get to Deuteronomy 6. This is what we're told in the Shema, and just what to do with it. The Shema is really two things before we get to it. It's a memory and it's an instruction of what to do with the memory. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 6, going from verse 4 to verse 9. And I'm going to make a pause where it changes over from being a memory to the instruction. So first, memory. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The memory is that Adonai is Eloheinu. Adonai is the name of our deity. Adonai is our God. And that he is one. What does it mean that he is one? That he is the only one. And that he is the only God. There's no other God who stands anywhere near him. Not above him, not next to him. They're all false gods, well unto him. False gods. There is only one God. And when you see more than one facet of Adonai, there are those who, you know, he always shows us new things. He's always showing us new facets of who he is. But there are those who believe each one of those facets is a new God. And if you're looking and seeing multiple facets and think you're seeing multiple gods, I'm here to tell you flat out, you're wrong. This is like when people say rule one is that I'm never wrong. And rule two is if you think I'm wrong, go back to rule one. We've all heard that. Well, rule one for Adonai is that he is God and the only one. If you think you see two gods or more, when you look at Adonai and his many facets, see rule one. This sounds like an instruction, but it's really a memory. We are to remember that we are to love Adonai with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Starting in verse 6 is the instruction part of it for me. What do you do with that memory? Deuteronomy 6 through 9. These words which I command in you today are to be on your heart. You are to teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, And when you rise up, bind them as a sign on your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Here is the instruction to keep the memory of who he is and who we are in him. The Shema is really very simple, but out of the Shema comes the instruction to keep all of his instructions. That's why later in chapter 6, we get these instructions starting in verse 24. Adonai commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Adonai our God, for our good always, to keep us alive as the case today. It will be righteousness to us if we take care to do all this commandment before Adonai our God, just as he has commanded all of us. Moses is reminding us to fear Adonai because it had kept them alive to that day, and it was accounted as righteousness to them, and that it will continue to as long as they continue to follow the commandments or instructions of Adonai. Follow the Torah, follow the Tanakh, follow his instructions. And how is that relevant to us today? As a people of God, we are told that we were free from Egypt. And we're told that each Passover, we read a piece of Exodus, Exodus 13:14, starting there. So when your sons ask you in times to come, what is this? Say to him, by a strong hand, Adonai brought us out from Egypt, the house of bondage. And when Pharaoh refused to let us go, Adonai slew all their firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and animals. We read that we were brought out of Egypt when Pharaoh refused to let go. It was we and us then, and it still is today. When we read the scriptures, when we remember the Passover, we were the ones who came out. We had that experience. Not only were we in Egypt when released, we were at the mountain when the 10 words or the 10 commandments were given and Torah was given, because there were Jewish and Gentile people there who witnessed it. Therefore, we today were considered to be there as well. Every time Moses, we said every time Moses was speaking, how many times did he say we, us, we were there. We were there when the sea was split to the left and to the right so that the people, both Jew and Gentile, who followed him out of Egypt, who walked the dry land. We were there for that as well. It's true because the community experienced it. And that each of us still shares that experience as well as being there. And we're told that every Passover Seder. Now, allow me to take this thought just a little bit further. This is where maybe you haven't heard things like this before, and maybe you won't agree with me, but I think it's true. Because Jewish people were at the foot of the stake that Yeshua was executed on, and because we share the communal experience with our people, we were there. And therefore, it's also true that since there were Jewish people there when Yeshua came back to witness to the disciples at the end of Matthew, we were there. We read this at the end of Matthew 28, the last words there. And Yeshua came up to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It would seem to be just as right to read it, those words as saying, and Yeshua came up to you and spoke to you saying the words that we just read. If you knew that Yeshua spoke to you personally, would you have any doubt about what to do? Well, the truth is that he did speak to you personally. Not just there in Matthew about witnessing to the world, but also in other places about healing, about faith, about trust, about salvation by the blood, about strength, about prayer, about gathering in his name on the Shabbat, about tithing, about him. He speaks personally to each of us. He speaks to us personally in both of the covenants, the new and the old, the Brit Hadashah, the Tanakh. He speaks to us in every book of Scripture, in every chapter, in every sentence. We not only need to realize who the Scriptures were written to, we need to realize they were written to each of us personally. They were written to you. You might as well look at the cover and say, and see, it says, the Holy Scriptures written to Daniel. The Holy Scriptures written to John. Written to Henrietta. Written to, put your name right there. He wrote them to you. Every word was meant for you. To learn something, to be something, to do something. There's nothing impersonal about the Scriptures. The memories within them, or the instructions within them, we only need to place them into our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and our souls. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you that you've placed them within us. We thank you that they teach us, they instruct us, and they are memories for us. For we are to go forth to do, because you told us to do that. You didn't tell them, you told us. You didn't bring salvation just to them. You brought salvation to us through the blood of Messiah. You brought it to us first by the blood of animal sacrifices multiple times a day on the altar. And then you continued that covenant of blood sacrifice by Messiah Yeshua, the perfect sacrifice. His blood now covers us every day. All we need to do is accept it and put it in our hearts. Accept it, receive it, know it, live it, share it. Father, we thank you that these are the instructions you gave us in your words. These are the memories you've given us through your word. We thank you for them. And we thank you that you sent your Ruach HaKodesh to help us live them out. You didn't leave us alone, saying, yeah, now go try to do it. No. You sent the Ruach HaKodesh to be our counselor and our guider. So we thank you for your words. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And everyone said, amen and amen. So that's who he is, and that's what he has for us. Amen? Amen. So we're going to finish up the